Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
How many want to receive a word from the Lord tonight? I am a busted, broken vessel, but those are the best kind. Amen?
Amen?
Father God, anoint me. I need you to clear my head of the junk, of me. I need you to clear Shane out of the way. And God, speak through me. And I pray those that want to hear a word that said amen, that you would honor their faith. In Jesus' name, everyone said.
Amen.
So, you get me. I'm Shane, if nobody knows who I am. That's it. So, lately, I've been realizing how much I love food. I love food. My wife is pregnant, and she loves food. Yes, thank you. It was on purpose. She loves food. I have to tell people that, so when my kids ask me, were we in an accident later on down the road, I'm like, no, there's a lot of witnesses that know you were on purpose. You were with meaning. But how much I love food. Every night, my wife, like clockwork, 10 p.m., bowl of cereal. And I'm like, you're doing nothing for my figure. I'm trying to keep this an A+, okay? You're making this thing look more like a C-, all right? But I decided to fast last week, and don't say, oh, Shane, you're all holy, because trust me, I don't make it through a lot of fasts, okay? The Lord knows, and he has grace on me, so judge yourself. So anyways, I realized just how, man, if any of you have ever fasted, I fasted for a few things to get a hold of the Lord. I wanted to, you know, just sacrifice some things and be like, God, I just want you to talk to me on these things. I want to lift these things up to you. And I realized that in the midst of this, and it wasn't a long fast, by day two, I was done. I was just ready to throw in the towel, and I did at the end of the night. So a two-day fast. And I realized how hungry and thirsty one gets on a fast, and how much my love for food increased, right? But I was depleted, completely depleted. Any of you out there that have ever done a fast, you know what I'm talking about. And I got to thinking, I want to research, how long can one person live without food or water, right? And there's, I mean, give or take, depending on, you know, the person, Bear Grylls, probably a super long time, but someone like me, I'm a goner within a few days. But I looked up some stuff. It says that on the majority here, this isn't, you know, a person can survive 3 weeks with no food. 3 weeks, majority. But only 3 days without water. You can only survive 3 days without water, give or take a few hours. Any of you guys know why this is? It's okay, I'll tell you. You don't have to raise your hand. Our bodies, as you know, are made up of, give or take, 72, 73, 74% of?
Water.
Interesting why God made it that way. We're going to find out here in a minute. I have a diagram I want to show you. This is exactly what our body and the percentage of water that it has. These are the functions. This is what it takes care of, if you did not know. It forms saliva, which helps with digestion. Did you know that? It's needed by the brain to manufacture hormones and neurotransmitters. Water. All these other things I will not go through just because of time's sake, but you can read it yourself or look up this diagram on the internet. But all these things, water is its source of life. Now, when you stop eating and you stop drinking, the first thing to shut down in your body are your kidneys, which the function of your kidneys is to remove waste from your blood and to balance out all of our bodily fluids. That's the function of our kidneys. So follow me on this because I'm going somewhere. The purpose of Our body is filled up with water, 73%, the majority does all these things. And if we are depleted of that water, our kidneys shut down, and the function of our kidneys is to remove waste from our bodies and to balance out our bodily fluids. John 7:37 through 39 says this. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, capital S, highlight, underline, circle that word, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. When I read this, I go, man, God, you're so clever. The Spirit is that living water inside of us. And when we're depleted of the Spirit, when we starve ourselves of the Holy Spirit inside of us, the functions in our body that dispose of the waste, that dispose of the bad junk, the flesh, start shutting down, and the things that keep us at balance start shutting down. See, what I want to talk to you tonight, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Some of us in this room, I wouldn't imagine very many, but some of us in here have no idea what we have at our disposal. The Holy Spirit of God inside of us. See, how many of you out there know that you're no good unless the Spirit is inside of you? How many people know this to be true? Whenever we're out of our word, or whenever we take a break from prayer, or maybe take a break from church, old us starts coming out. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to meet old Shane. But old Shane's probably the same as old you. You know what I mean? We get cranky, impatient. As we'll talk about later, the fruits of the Spirit start coming out that are of the flesh. This is where it talks about the importance of the Spirit in John 16, 5 through 7. And we're going to get to a Bible study. This is just, the Holy Spirit is mentioned in our Bible study that we're going to get to tonight. And I want to just emphasize the importance of utilizing the Holy Spirit. But in John 16, it says this, "But now I'm going to him who sent me." This is Jesus. "And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." This is the Greek definition of the word helper. It's parakletos. It's one called alongside, an advocate, a comforter, an encourager, a spiritual aid. See, in our Bible study tonight, it's 1 Corinthians. We're going through this series in college group, which is young adults group. I get a lot of people going like, "Oh, you have to go to college to go." No, you don't have to go to college. You're 18 to 27, that's it. We're going through this series in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And basically, Paul starts a church in Corinth, right? It's this strategic city. A lot of trade route through there. It was known to be one of the most sinful cities of its time. And it starts out, Paul writes this letter to this church that he started. And wouldn't you know it, there's division that starts amongst them. And he goes, wait, hold on. We need to unify. We need to unify. And let me tell you why we need to unify. That you're no better than that person, and that person's no better than them. Because God called the weak things of the world to shame the strong. All of us collectively in this room, we are the same in God's eyes. We have weaknesses, we have flaws, we have failures. Most of us in here have testimonies of things that we're ashamed of in the world, and things that we got in trouble for in the world, and things that we shouldn't have done in the world. And God has used those, or desires to use those, to shame the strong, the people that feel like they don't need God. He's telling the church of Corinth, we're all the same in here. And where our Bible study picks up in chapter 2 in verse 1, Paul wants to relay to them, because you are weak, We need to unify. But we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to do any good. It's not anything that you do. It's not anything that that person does. It's not because you said all your prayers this week and because you were sinless. It's because of God and His Spirit inside of you that anything that you do is good. I wanted to entitle tonight's sermon, if you want to write this down, if you take notes, I can handle this. Because most of us in our Christian walk, we come to this place where maybe we hit a brick wall, or maybe we have a sin that's just knocked us down and we can't seem to get back up, or we've brought it before the Lord so many times we feel like, I can handle this. I'll take care of this. Or we have this individual or this bill or this relationship or anything that you have in your life that we go, I can do this. I got control of this. God is God and He'll come when I ask Him, but I got this. And what happens, and so many of you know to be true, is usually that doesn't work out for our benefit. And we end up in this spiral of just making things worse when we try to handle things on our own. When all along, we have the key to success, which is the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, this is Paul. He says this, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Say power.
Power.
This is the definition of rely. Depend on with full trust or confidence. Paul's saying, when I came and I talked to you, and I'm talking to you now, it's not because I'm better. It's not because I'm wise. It's not anything that I made up. It's not any credit to me of my schooling or my character traits or anything like that. I came to you, it wasn't clever. It was because of the demonstration of the Spirit inside of me and of its power. See, the first attribute of the Holy Spirit I want to talk to you tonight is power. So my first PowerPoint is this. The Spirit gives us power. See, this is what I believe. And I fall into this category a lot too. So I don't want to stand up here and say I'm the all-powerful. And I don't want to give the impression that because if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're Superman or Batman and should go fight crime. Okay? Nobody needs to put on a cape and some spandex, all right? This is what I mean. Is that there are a lot of Christians that walk around powerless. Imagine this for a second. Imagine you're one of the 12 disciples, and after Jesus ascends to heaven, you're going around in the name of Jesus, but with no power. Oh man, let's pray over here. Let's pray for this person. They need help with their depression, or they need encouragement, or they need to be healed. And we're just like, this is cool. Christian prayer. And afterwards, it's just like, they're like, wait a minute. I thought you were a disciple of Jesus. I thought you were a disciple of the one that He came and He was pretty powerful, but you have no power. You have no authority. See, I don't know if you know this, but in John 14, 11 through 15, this is what Jesus says, right? It says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. If you don't believe that I tell you that I'm of the Father and the Father is in me, then believe the works that you see. You see my works. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says, greater things that you will do than these because I go to my Father. And what did he say would happen when he went to his Father? The Holy Spirit would be sent. Now, I'm not one of those people that want to promote blab it or grab it. That is like, you know, I believe that this person needs to be healed and they're going to be healed right now. And if they're not healed, it's my fault because of my lack of faith because God wanted it to happen. Or this person over here, they had a bill that needed to be paid. And I go, in Jesus' name, this bill be paid. And that person got that bill because that's what it is. That's blab it and grab it. But I do believe that after this next PowerPoint, I explain that we have the power and the authority to do things like that. In the midst of God's will. And people are like, what's God's will? I don't know. I'm going to explain how you understand when to walk in authority. We should always walk in authority, but in certain circumstances of praying healing or praying over this, we should pray in all things, God says. But it's always in his time. But imagine if your wife or your mother, your brother, or whoever it is has depression. A lot of us, we walk through and we go like, I'm going to pray for you. Shane, the human being, the Christian that's kind of dirty, I'm going to pray for you. But if I'm walking and I'm filled up with the Spirit and I'm not starving of the Spirit, I want to go and I'm going to go in Jesus' name, I rebuke that spirit of depression. Be gone from this person. Pastor Ron used to say it a lot back in the day, back when the old sanctuary was just here. He'd say, if you're not rebuking spirits three times a day, you're losing the war. See, some of you don't know, and some of you need to be reminded that the Spirit of God has power and authority. It's almost like you're walking out each day with a sword that you don't even wield. Because what's the sword called? I want this to sink in. The Holy Spirit. Are you trying to handle things on your own? Are you calling? Are you relying on the Holy Spirit? Because in times of spiritual warfare, or in times that maybe sometimes the devil's got a hold of our money. We need to go, you know what, devil? I loosen your grasp on my finances in Jesus' name. I'm a tither. Or maybe you have something. I was researching Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know if any of you guys know who that guy is. But man, and no praise to the man, praise to the Spirit in the man. But that guy walked in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. He didn't walk in fear. He walked in power knowing that my God's with me. And although we may go toe-to-toe right now, the war is mine. Because I have the Spirit of the living God in me, and I will not be afraid. What does Timothy say? For I did not give you a spirit of timidity, but of power. Right? Amen. You get me all worked up. Check this story out. A young man working in the army was constantly humiliated because he believed in God. One day, the captain wanted to humiliate him before the troops. He called the young man and said, "Young man, come here. Take the key and go and park the Jeep in front." I don't know. The young man replied, "I cannot drive." The captain said, "Well, then ask for assistance of your God. Show us that he exists." The young man takes the key and walked in the vehicle and begins to pray. He parks the Jeep at the place perfectly. Just like the captain wanted. The young man came out of the Jeep and saw them all crying. They all said together, "We want to serve your God." The young soldier was astonished and asked what was going on. The captain, crying, opened the hood of the Jeep, showing the young man that the car engine had been removed. Oh, wow. I got chills. I get chills. I know it sounds hocus pocus, and I know that there's a lot of religions out there that take this on the way, way, way far side, but I believe it's all the worse to just not believe in it or utilize it at all. Think about it. The things that you have going on in your life, to where if only I called on the Holy Spirit, if only I call for the Holy Spirit's help, how much easier it would be. Some of you go like, okay, Shane, how do I call on the Holy Spirit? Check this out. Second point is the Holy Spirit reveals his wisdom. See, without God's wisdom, we don't know how to walk in his power and authority at all. We get all silly with it, or we don't do it at all because we don't understand it, right? Because things that we don't understand, we're afraid of, the majority. 1 Corinthians 2, let's go, continue on in verse 5 through 10. It says, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men. I just spoke with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all I spoke in, and it wasn't me. The only reason it was like that was so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord God of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. Through the what?
Spirit.
For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. How many people know this to be true? Before we can do something correctly, we must have wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know if you guys have ever bought an entertainment center from IKEA or from Target or Walmart. They're not kind enough to put it together for you in the box before you bring it home. But what they do is they put these little stickers with letters on it that match the booklet and the diagram that's in the booklet that's 50 pages long. When all in all, you bought the entertainment center to put it up right away because you probably have a TV that you want to watch. And I don't know if you're like me, but again, I go, I got this. I can handle this. I don't need those instructions. It's pretty simple. I look at the picture on the box, all these little pieces here. I got this. I can put it together. And so you endeavor in this 3-hour mission, sweating profusely, and it's wintertime because your brain's on overload. And the pieces that you thought went there after you got halfway done really went over here, but you didn't understand it because they were the same size, but you didn't get it that it was a Phillips head, not a flat head. And so now you got to take all this apart and put this back together. We need instruction before we do anything else. And with the Spirit of God, he gives us wisdom. How many times in our lives do we come across something to where we wish we just knew the right answer? And I wish I knew the right answer, but we think we have it all done ourselves. Listen to this story. I got another one for you. I love stories. This person is not related to me, by the way. Elizabeth Elliot tells of two adventurers who stopped by to see her. All loaded with equipment for the rainforest east of the Andes, they sought no advice, just a few phrases to converse with the Indians. She writes, "Sometimes we come to God as the two adventurers came to me, confident, and we think well-informed and well-equipped. But has it occurred to us that with all our accumulation of stuff, something is missing?" She suggests that we often ask God for too little. We know what we need, a yes or no answer, please, to a simple question, or perhaps a road sign, something quick and easy to point the way. What we really ought to have is the guide himself. Maps, road signs, a few useful phrases or things, but infinitely better is someone who has been there before and knows the way. See, I don't know if you guys know this, but life doesn't stop. Amen? Trials don't stop. Difficulties don't stop. Sin doesn't stop. And what doesn't stop are choices having to be made. And a lot of us make our decisions on our own. And we go down paths without seeking the advice or the wisdom from the Spirit or even calling on the Holy Spirit to help. Example, right? How do I do this? It's simple. Father God, my wife and I are having some communication problems. And I've tried my way. And all it leads is to an argument. We bicker and we fight over little and petty things. And I see that my marriage is slipping away. And my wife is being distant from me. And it hurts me. But God, right now I call upon your Holy Spirit, the helper, which you say that if I call on, you send. And I ask, Holy Spirit, for your wisdom and for you to be involved and for you to start changing my wife's heart and put forgiveness in her heart for me. And Holy Spirit, start changing me and show me what I need to do to be better. I place this in your hands, Holy Spirit. Please again, get involved in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you think that that's a made-up prayer, oh man, can I tell you, when you get married, guys, you do yourself a favor to pray that before you start trying to fix anything yourself. How many men know this to be true? But in any and every situation, whether it's a person at work, whether it's a boss, whether it's maybe you have fear, maybe you have lust, maybe you have pride. Man, we try to handle it ourselves so much. When all we need to do is call on the Holy Spirit. It's here for us to utilize. God says, can you imagine God in heaven right now? And I'm not trying to condemn you again. I told you, I'm in the same boat as you all the time. Sometimes I go like, oh, Holy Spirit, you could have done this a lot better. I totally left you behind. But imagine God goes, I'm sending my son to die, and I'm going to bring him back with me, and I have this amazing, amazing tool to help you be successful in life. And then he's up there watching us. He's going like, just my spirit can help you. No. Oh, Samantha. You should have called on my spirit. You would have made that. Oh, man. And I don't think God's up there just in disrespectful way just thinking that we're dumb, because if not, I'd be thrown out in the trash all over the place. But you get what I'm talking about here. Is can you imagine the father who has he's like, I have the Holy Spirit for you, and he's watching all of his kids go through things that they don't need to because we don't call on the Holy Spirit. I know it sounds hokey that when we go in like, hey, Holy Spirit, come. And then after that, what happens? Just this orb flies in the room and I'm good. It's, you know what I mean? Something like that. It's no. But man, if I want to get a hold of the Holy Spirit, if I need the Holy Spirit's help, I'm going to do the same thing I do when I want to get a hold of God. And that's what he says. Knock, seek, knock, seek. How great a feeling it is to know that we can make decisions based on God's wisdom. See, some of us in here are spiritually starving or dead, and we don't even know it, because we've depleted ourselves of the Spirit inside of us. In Galatians 5, verse 16, it talks about the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And then when we're depleted of the Spirit, what comes out of us? Anger, disputes, lust, drunkenness. But when we're filled with the Spirit, when we spent time in prayer, when we've spent time in God's Word, when we've spent time at church and in fellowship, that Spirit starts swelling up inside of us. And all of a sudden, God's wisdom that we remember from his Word or through prayer starts coming to our remembrance. And so we may be in a conversation or in a situation down the road, and we go, okay, let me check with this real quick. I know what the Spirit's telling me. The Spirit's telling me, okay, this is how I need to deal with this. But if the Spirit is not existent in our body, many of us know that when we get into a situation or a trial, trial or a difficulty or whatever it is, that voice inside of us isn't the spirit, but it's called impulsive. And we usually end up getting ourselves in a bit of trouble. I don't know about you, but I want to be a powerful Christian, because when people see the power of God in me, it reflects how powerful the God I serve is. And I don't want to walk around making bad decisions and getting myself in trouble. I want God to help me with my decisions. Do you? How great would that be if we're like, I mean, just, hey, going someplace for dinner. Man, that's the biggest decision anybody's ever made. Where do you want to go to dinner? I don't care. I saw that there was actually a restaurant someone came up with. It was called, the title of the restaurant was I Don't Care. That's pretty funny, right? It was legit. I thought it was clever. Watch this video and then we'll close out.
Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay. So let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but see,
you
don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh. Well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
I want to be a successful follower of Christ. And I'm not going to stop until I just keep getting better and better. And it might take a long time. It's going to probably take a really long time. But I want to know when somebody asks me for prayer, that it's not just Shane praying for him. That I have the spirit of the living God inside of me. And I don't want them to know that I have that spirit so it edifies me. I want them to know that I have that spirit so their faith in God will increase. And when I make decisions and I go about my life and my marriage and being a parent, man, being a parent, man alive, it's wild. And decisions come each and every day, and trials come every day, and difficulties and temptations. And I want to be able to call on that Holy Spirit. I want that to be my go-to, not my second choice. Some of you out there, the best decision you can make tonight is the Holy Spirit and inviting the Holy Spirit in your body. And so I'm going to pray. I'll pray this. Father God, I don't know why you picked me. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. But God, I know that the Bible talks about your spirit and how good it is and how it's powerful and it gives us wisdom and it helps in time of need and it's our helper, it's our advocate. And God, I don't want to live this life here on earth and say that I never utilized or called upon or experienced your Spirit. You, God, you are more than just an idea. You're more than just a religion. You're living. You're alive. And our bodies were created for your Spirit to dwell in. And so, God, right now, I pray that your Spirit would rush through this place in all its power and all its glory. And I pray right now, God, that you would move in the hearts of the people. There might be people in here that have been coming to church for a long time, or they may have just been going through the motions and they've never experienced the power or what it is to call or live by your Spirit, God. And so I just pray that if there's those people in here, and I pray you'd move in their heart right now, God, when I ask this question. And if you're in here and you want the Holy Spirit, you want Jesus to come live in your body by his Holy Spirit, would you do me a favor and raise your hand? It's not hocus pocus, I'm telling you. It's a decision. If you would, keep those hands raised, please. Please. There's a lot of you in here. Okay, I'm going to ask you again. We always do this, okay? If you raise your hand, would you please, please stand up? No one's going to make fun of you. You're in the house of God. If you would, stand up for me, okay? There's all these pastors and deacons up here on my left, your right. And they're going to teach you and they're going to show you how to have a relationship and how to walk by the Spirit of God. And so what I want you to do is I want you to follow them to this room, to my left, your right now. And everybody give them a hand as they walk. This isn't awkward. If you would, just tell whoever you're sitting with, excuse me, I got to go. This room over here to the left, excuse yourself out of the seats, because the Spirit of God is real. The Spirit of God is real. Give him a hand, church. Give him a hand. Stand up with him. Stand up with him. If you would, give him a hand. They're going. Are your hands tired? As Paul says in the Word, I do not look what lies behind, but I strive on what lies ahead. We may have messed up today, and we may not have been very good this last week, but I don't know if you guys want to go with me on this journey of trying to utilize the Spirit to the best of my ability. Amen? Amen. So get in your Word, get in prayer, keep coming to church, fellowship, join a house church. Those are our small groups here. Get involved, start digging in, and start seeing the Spirit come alive in you. And that's when this relationship's going to be exciting. I don't want a boring, powerless relationship with God. I want an exciting, powerful relationship with God. Amen?
Amen.
Woo! See you guys here, there, or in the air.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org.
Here is our King. Here is our love. Here is our